Thank you, Jesus. Has anybody in here ever heard that song before? Nobody's ever heard it? You've heard it before? Who said I heard it? You've heard it? You heard it? Well, you don't count. You heard it. You've heard that before, Ivan? Arnold, you heard it. All right. That song, I heard that song probably 20 years ago. And it became my personal favorite song that I, you know, sing whenever I'm discouraged or whatever, you know, and I get in there and sing that song. And I was just, the other day, I was just playing it and singing it. And, of course, you know, my wife does such a better job than I could ever do. And so I told her, I said, sweetie, you got, watch it, Frank. Ushers, take that man out over here. Yeah, he meant at the wrong time. Drag him outside. But I just felt the Spirit of the Lord saying to me that that needs to be kind of like our theme song for this year. And so she played it this morning. We're going to keep playing it. We're going to keep out there because I'm telling you what, it takes a determination to live for Jesus. The weak people don't live for Jesus. It takes somebody that's got some guts and determination to keep putting your foot in front of the other and walking on in life and being determined that you're going to be invincible because he lives in you. Amen? And so you're going to hear this song a whole lot more. We're going to get it in there where everybody gets it. So anyway, well, I got a couple of things here this morning. Right now, you guys, I got a gift for everybody in here this morning, a little late Christmas present. You guys, go ahead, just pass them out. Pass out one to everybody in here. If you already have one, take another one. This is a book that I've actually, it sounds kind of funny to say this. This is what I've learned over the last 28 years about prayer. And it's kind of funny. It's as thin as it is. But it's power-packed. I just don't believe in writing big books. I believe most people are not going to spend a lot of time on a topic. You're going to get distracted. And so I like to write small books that can get you in, get your attention, get what, you know, the revelation to you, and then go on. But I have to apologize for the books. The books did not get printed like I had wanted them to be printed. And so they're, I just was a little disappointed in them. So just, the covers are awesome. The rest of it just didn't work out right. But anyway. And I want to ask you to do something for me, okay? You know, the church website here is just rrichards@yahoo.com. And read the book. Give the book away. There's more books going to be in the bookstore. You can take as many books as you want. You want to give 10 books away, 20 books away. I mean, don't use them to level your table or something, you know. Fire starters. I don't want to hear a testimony like, hey, Pastor, I rolled those things up, put wax on them, and got my fire started so good. It's a great book. I don't want to hear that. But take them and give them to people and bless them. But I want to hear what people think. And I'll take criticism also because I want the books to be effective. And I want them to touch people's lives and to be able to understand the revelation of what I'm going to be teaching you all these next few weeks. About prayer, and I want people to get it. I'm about helping somebody. I want people to understand and to grow and to help them. And if it doesn't, everybody got one? Anybody didn't get one? Raise your hand. They'll still get them to you. I want it to be a blessing to you. Okay. And so if you read it and you just see something in it that just blesses you and like you didn't never see it before, or if you read a chapter and it doesn't make a bit of sense to you. And he said, Pastor, I can't understand where you're coming from. I want to hear that too. And so just drop me an email at rrichards@yahoo.com and let me know your thoughts. I've heard already some people that have some good things. And so I just want to know it's being effective. Amen? Amen? Now I got a video I want to show you. I want to brighten your day. We at the orphanage, you know, Brother Ivan's coming in here. And we put there's been a soccer field put into the orphanage. Now, look at the kids. This is a professional soccer field. It's only half the size of a soccer field. That's real grass they're on. I think that's what you call joy. Yeah, what happened is the administrator of the Bible college, the orphanage, is his brother-in-law is a professional soccer player in Guatemala. And so last summer he came out, donated his time. He'd come out twice a week and teach all our kids soccer. And, you know, soccer is everything down there. They don't play football, they play soccer. And so all the kids are just amazing. I mean, they can do things with that ball that is just ridiculous. And so that's their big deal. So anyway, we had a person that wanted to put in a soccer field and donated the money to do it. And so we started putting it in there. And they put this grass in. The guy wanted to buy grass, and so it was a real grass field. And they put the grass in. It was like the number one grass was too expensive, and so they went with the lower grade of grass and put it all in. And they got it in there, and then it died. And the company felt bad about it, and so they went and brought their number one grass in, pulled up the other stuff, put us down for no charge, and gave us the number one grass. So they've got they have got the first rate soccer field around there for those kids to play on. And when I saw their faces and everybody running out there and screaming how excited they were, I was just like, man, that's what joy's all about. Amen. So just something good going on down there. So get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Last week I preached a message called Wake Up. I'm telling you, it's time for us all to wake up, see what's going on. It's time for us to open up our eyes and crawl out of bed and get out from under the sheets. It may feel comfortable to just be laying there and be apathetic, but it's time for us all to rise up and realize that we got to go to work. I don't know about, do y'all have that problem in the morning? It's not when it's hot, but when it's cold, and you just want to lay under the sheets, and you know the alarm's gone off, and you have to get up and go to work, and you don't want to. Is anybody in here like that with me, huh? And you kind of lay there, and you just really don't want to? No? You're ready to jump out of bed and go. Somebody pray for her. I'm not like that a whole lot, but it seems like to me it's just these winter days when it's kind of it's cool and I'm just underneath there and I'm all warm and I just don't want to get up and go outside. Of course I do, you know, but it's kind of the way that I feel like the Christian church has been. I'm not talking about y'all as a church. I'm talking about the church all over the United States. We've just been asleep. We've just been laying in the bed letting somebody else do the job, and I just don't think we can do that anymore, church. It's time for us all to wake up. It's time for us to take up the banner and to be willing to make sacrifices. And I know that people don't want to hear that, but I know it's the truth. And we talked about wake up, and we talked about last week about you need to get the vaccine for 2013. You need to be injected with Jesus, get him down on the inside of you where he begins to work all over your whole life and just brings about really who you are, the great, awesome, amazing people that you are, by the power of God. Now listen to me. I've got weaknesses in my flesh, but my spirit man is an amazing beast. 9 foot tall and bulletproof. Full of God. Gonna live forever. Right? But I don't always see that. I look in the mirror for him sometimes and I don't always see that. But inside of you, the real you, down on the inside of you is awesome, amazing. The Bible says that you're so awesome and amazing that Jesus is going to take you and present you to God with exceeding joy. He's not going to say, dadgum, here's Robert. You know? Imagine going up there and saying, dad, here he is. No, he's just exceeding joy. He's going to say, hey, daddy, here he is. I got him here. Here he is. With joy. Man, I mean, can you imagine that? We're not talking You know, the president of a company or the president of the United States or the president of this or that. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords presenting you to God Almighty, the creator of the universe. And he's going to do it with joy. He's not going to do it with joy because of what you're going to do. He's going to do it with joy because of what you did and made Jesus the Lord of your life. Woo! So I may mess up on everything in life, but I did one thing right, praise God. Made Jesus the Lord of my life. Y'all with me? So I'm not looking at the future here this morning and preaching a doomsday message because I'm just telling you I know where I'm headed. I know where I'm going. I'm headed to heaven. You can't take it from me. I'm going to heaven. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Jesus said he'd never leave me nor forsake me, and he's not going to. I'm not going to be left out in the cold, shivering, wondering where my God is. Hello? There may be some things come down, and I believe it, and that's why I'm trying to prep you for it. In 2013, there are going to be tough, hard decisions you're going to have to make. I'm telling you, today is the day. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to sit there and be in fear about it, but I just am going to be prepared to face what comes my way because I know my relationship with Jesus is right. Hello? Am I doing everything perfect? No, but I know what repentance is about. I know what his blood can do. Hello? Are y'all with me? Look at the person beside you and say, man, I like this guy. And so I may say some things here this morning, and I don't want you to get all freaked out and run out and whatever, but let me just ask you a couple of just a little questions, because I've just made some observations in the last, 3 weeks about humans that really make me wonder. Okay? So it's no secret that I own a gun shop. Okay? Sure got quiet. I heard it's been a good place for an amen. And so I do that because I have one because my father was a gunsmith and as a rancher and a gunsmith, and I grew up my whole life with a stock in my hand sanding it or blueing a barrel of a gun or reloading shells, and this is just part of our life. It was a family deal. My grandfather, my father, myself, my sister, my mother, everybody, we were involved in doing all this. I grew up around gunpowder and bullets and never was afraid of any of it or thought anything bad about it, okay? So for all of y'all, anybody that may be listening, you don't know what I'm talking about, sorry, you missed out on a great life. Anyway, so in the recent events that's taking place right now, the world's gone into a panic, or at least our world around here. You know, you can't buy 22 shells anymore. Everybody's sold out. Going to the big stores, everybody's sold out of ammunition. Everybody's sold out of guns. I can't even order guns. Can't find guns. Guns are gone. Everybody got them all. Bought them all up. Okay? But my phone has not ceased to ring off the wall of people that say, do you have, you know, you have a gun? And I say, no, I don't have it. All sold out. I said, man. Well, I was just too late. And then another person called me up and they'd say, yeah, you got that. I said, no, well, I don't have it. Sold the last one, 3 weeks ago. Oh, man, well, I knew I should have done something. I just didn't move quick enough. Another person called me up. I said, no, I don't have it. He said, oh, just waited too long. And so this got this hearing all this coming from people thinking, wait a minute. I, Robert Richards, as a person, saw the writing on the wall a year ago. So in a year, I've amassed everything I wanted. I prepared. I was ready. I knew, hey, something ain't right. So then I got to thinking a little deeper. I got to thinking, well, what would happen if we weren't talking guns and ammo? Now what if we were talking food? So I was thinking along these lines, what would everybody be doing? Say, oh, man, I meant to go to the store last week, but I didn't. Now, We're a little different out here because we're country people. So for us to go to the store, you're going to drive an hour. So whenever you go to the store, you usually buy more than you're going to have, right? And it's not like we can just run down to the, you know, to the store and pick up a bunch of stuff, right, ever? Y'all with me? Y'all here? Y'all in the building? So I got to worrying and kind of thinking, said, Lord, man, people aren't prepared. And the Lord just spoke to me in my heart and said, people aren't prepared for what's coming because they're not prepared with their relationship with me. And so I felt like that this book that I have here about prayer was a place that he wanted me to start and to prod you and to teach you, to try to get you into what really understanding what prayer is all about, not live a life that you really don't have a relationship with Jesus. And so I want to pick up this story here this morning in the book of Matthew chapter 25. So go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Matthew 25, verse 1 says, in the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps. They took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, and at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, assuredly, I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Pretty tough story here. Jesus is sharing with everybody. 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The 5 wise took extra oil. The 5 foolish just said, it'll be okay, everything will work out. Have you ever been in a situation where, you know, you went to do something and you thought it was only going to take you so long and then it took you a lot longer and like you wish you'd have just at least bought a bottle of water with you? Huh? Well, that's what they did. They said, it'll work out, and it didn't. And like I said, I'm not trying to be a doomsdayist here. I'm trying to say, hey! Let's get some extra oil. Let's be ready. Let's be prepared. I'm not being a doomsdayer. I'm not saying let's dig us a hole and bury us a bunch of food. What I'm saying is let's get ready in our hearts. Let's get our relationship with Jesus right. Let's get some fresh oil in our lives. Let's get the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. Let's get our communication with heaven going. Let's get our answers of questions that we have solved and settled. Let's get ready so when an event happens, we can stand up and say, well, it's not going to look like it's going to be much fun, but bless God, Jesus is with me. God's with me. I can do all things. The Christ who strengthens me, and walk through it. Hello? You see, I have to live my life just like you live your life. But I have the responsibility of trying to tell you as the sheep and prepare you for what I believe. Now, if I'm wrong, I can't be wrong. Listen, first of all, I can't be wrong. I can never be wrong with encouraging you to have a deeper relationship with Jesus. I got this thing made. Ain't no way I'm going to be wrong. Okay? Now, if I go to telling you I think this event's going to happen or that event's going to happen or whatever, well, then, you know, I can be wrong. But I'm just telling you, today is the time to get your relationship with Jesus straight. Today is not the day to be sitting in your households, not really wanting to talk to God because you've got something in your past you're ashamed of or feel guilty of, or it's hurt your relationship. Today is not the day Listen, to be angry at your neighbor so it's hindering you in your prayer life. That's what happens to most of us Christians. Our relationship with Jesus goes by in bits and pieces. We have any circumstance or something that brings us closer to Him, and then we stop at that place, and then we get complacent, and we stay there. We don't move on. We stay there. And then the next event comes along, boom, hits us, and then we're like, and then we fight through it. Oh, yeah, and then finally, we move forward, we get out of it, and then we get into there, and then, you know, we stay there, and then we get complacent. And what I'm saying is we need to have a relationship that's moving on with Jesus all the time. That when a situation arises, immediately you say, what does the Word of God say about that? What does the Word say about that? Well, see, now, wait a minute. The Word says this about that. Now, in the name of Jesus, I just declare that's what the Word says about that, so that's what's going to happen in my life. Most people's prayer life is based upon what I call a grocery list. It's just simply hoping you speak upwards because you feel like God's up there somewhere. So you lift your head or you bow your head. Or you lift your head or you bow your head depending on where you're raised from. And you utter your grocery list to God. Father, I don't know if you can do this, but I need you to. Can you do this for me? And then so and so she needs this, and can you do that? And I thank you that that came into my life. But Lord, I ask you, can you do this? And then that's the basis of prayer. Now, don't feel bad if that's where you are. I'm just going to push you on. I'm gonna like a plunger through a pipe. I'm going to push you on down out the end of that tube. You're going to have glory. Are y'all with me? I started out my prayer life in life. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Watch over me all through the night and wake me with the morning light. My mother taught me that prayer as a little kid. Now I'm almost 52 and I can still recite it. Sweet and nice, but ain't get much done. We got to move on. We got to develop our prayer life. This whole book and the premise of this book on praying the Word is that the book is based on you have to understand what the promises are in God's Word. And if you understand what the promises are in God's Word, then you can take that promise of God's Word and turn it into a prayer and pray God's Word. Then you're praying God's perfect will for your life, and then God's going to answer His perfect will. Hello? Y'all getting this? Y'all are just really looking at me. Is it too hot in here? We need to turn it on and chill it down as cold as we can get. So y'all will sit there and go, oh, yeah, yeah. At least your eyes open up when that happens. Maybe I need to have, you know, like stewardesses pass out peanuts and Cokes and stuff like that while we're having church so I can keep your attention. But the word is the Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God, okay, is God's perfect will. If you know what the Bible says about your situation, then you know what God's will is about your situation. But if you don't know what the Bible says about the situation, then you're going to draw to what religion has taught you about the situation, whether it has any basis of truth or not. I can tell you, they didn't all get it right. There are denominations that have strayed from what the truth of the Word says. There's been error in teaching that is locked in people's minds, and that religious thinking is not going to get it done. We got to know what the Word says. Okay? Now, Go in your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 4. Now this morning, I'll get into the book more next week. I'm just going to be doing some introductory here to kind of get you to understand this. Therefore, I'm reading Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. I don't want to come short of God's rest. I don't want to come short of anything that God has for me. Are y'all with me? I mean, I want it all. I'm not being greedy. I just want everything that Jesus bought and paid for me on the cross. I want it in my life. That's not being bad. That's being good. He paid for it. I want it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, because it not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So in other words, there's two kinds of people on the face of the earth. Those that have heard the word of God and received it by faith, and it's prospering them or profiting them. And there's those that have heard the word of God and said, I don't believe that. It's just old stories. It's not true. And the mixing of faith with the word is the only difference between the two. That's the only reason why one received it and the other one didn't, because they didn't have any faith in what it said. There are people today that believe that the Bible, it's just a book of stories. That they're just nice bedtime children's stories. It's not real. God really is not going to move in your life. God's not really alive. That Jesus was a good man and he's not real. There's no real God. He wasn't resurrected. The disciples stole his body. He wasn't really resurrected. And that doubt or that disbelief in them is what keeps the Word of God from becoming alive and having any effect in their life. Jesus went into his hometown of Nazareth, and he went into the town and he said, I could do no miracles there because nobody had any faith. Listen to what he said. He said, I could do no miracles because nobody had any faith. So then the miracles, the act of the miracle taking place was not about Jesus didn't have the power to do it. It's that he couldn't do it because nobody was activating faith in the word. So the people kept miracles from happening, not Jesus. Woo! Wow! That throws the ball over into our court. Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. I'm here. I could have done miracles. I could have done miracles upon miracles, but nobody had any faith to believe. There was no way miracles could happen because it was all full of doubt and unbelief. The only thing that hinders the Word of God from working and becoming active in your life is doubt. And some of us are at that place in life where, like, the man whose son was demon-possessed and he ran to Jesus and he wanted him to help him. And he says, well, if you'll believe. And the man says, man, Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. In other words, I'm trying, but I got some doubt. I'm trying to squeeze it out, but got something over here that's full of doubt. Are you with me? We got to be people that are active in our faith. We want to enter into the rest of God, the rest of relaxing in his word, saying, you know, God, you got it all taken care of. You know, the Bible's full of miracles. Wild miracles. Wild things that happen that even I read them and I'm like, I don't understand. One of the ones that always gets me is Elisha. Poor Elisha, he was bald-headed. And he's walking down the road one day, and people get to teasing him about being bald-headed and whatever, and he turns around and tells them, basically, you need to be quiet. It ain't going to go good with you. And the Bible says a she-bear came out and ate those people. Now, see, I kind of like that one, if as long as the she-bear is eating somebody else and, you know, just works for me. Or how about Elisha, when the guy borrowed an axe and he was chopping and the head flies off into the water. And he goes and takes a stick and puts it in the water, and it says that the axe head rose to the top and swam. How'd you like to see a swimming axe head? I mean, what did it do? I mean, would you have wanted to pick it up? How about they make a big pot of porridge, basically, and it's poison. The guy put poison gourds in it. And so Elisha decided, he put some salt in it, prayed over it, and said, it'll be okay, eat it now. Yeah. Who's going to be first eating that stuff? You see what I'm saying? The Bible's full of just amazing, amazing miracles that take place. But if you sit back and you look at all of that and you say, I don't know if I can believe that. Parting of the Red Sea. Walk across on dry land. Pretty impressive. You know, if you say, that's just all children's fairy tales. That thinking hinders the Word of God from ever having an effect and work in your life. When I first started reading the Bible and started coming across these stories and reading these things, and seeing all this, I just turned to, this is my attitude. Lord, I don't even understand that, but man, if it's in the Bible, I believe it. So somebody said, the Red Sea part? I say, absolutely. This is how to do it. I said, I have no earthly idea, but if the Bible says it did it, it did it. And I took an adamant stance against it. In my younger years, when I first started serving the Lord, I was working as a carpenter, and I never forget, I was up on the roof, and we were shingling a roof, and this guy comes up the ladder, this person I knew, and he comes up the ladder, and he says to me, hey, I understand you just got saved, because this is a pretty big stir when I got saved, and I said, yeah, I did, I gave him heart to Jesus, and he said, well, that's so good, I'm so happy for you. He says, now listen, I've got this book I want to give you, and it'll tell you all the things that are wrong with the Bible. And it'll explain all the things that are not right, so that it'll get you on track and you can understand it. And I said, well, wait a minute. And I didn't know anything. I mean, I'd only been saved for a few weeks. Jesus just become real to me. I just read my Bible for the very first time, just a little bit, and I didn't know anything. And I said to the man, I said, he was older than I was, and I was always taught to respect my elders. And I said, well, sir, you know, thank you for wanting to do something for him, but I don't know what Bible you're reading, but I mean, my Bible's is a holy Bible, and it's right. And he said, oh, no. See, that's something you don't understand. There's things that are wrong in the Bible you need to get corrected. And so then quickly my respect for my elders left, and the redneck rose up in me, and I said, I tell you what. I said, I don't think you're right. And he said, oh, no, don't get deceived. I'm right. And I said, let me tell you what. You get off this roof or I hit you in the head with my hammer. He said, excuse me? And I said, I ain't putting up this. I said, ain't nothing wrong with my Bible. I don't know what you're reading. I said, get off this roof. I said, I'll throw you off this roof. And the guy left. And a friend of mine, he'd gotten saved, and he gave him that book, and he read that book, and it was like 10 years he was messed up. Me, you know, I was just ignorant enough to, I was ready to get in a fight more than I was to, you know. And I didn't read that Bible. I wanted to believe my Bible. My Bible said Holy Bible on the front. I didn't know anybody else was reading it. It said Holy Bible. So it had to be. It said it on the front. That was the simple faith that I took. So now I'd read my Bible. I'd look at the Word, and I'd read the Bible, and I'd say, wow, that's amazing. Whew, can't believe that happened. But, well, you said it did, it did. And I took it in simple faith. That's when I began to see that, wait a minute. You've got something here, God. You've got your word you're trying to get in us. And when we act on it in faith, something happens in us. Let's read on. He says, so I swore in my wrath, I'll not enter my rest, for he had spoken of a certain place in the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his work again in this place. They shall not enter my rest, since therefore it remains that some must enter in, that in those to whom it must first first preached did not enter in because of disobedience. Again, he designated a certain day, saying in David, today, such a long time it has been said, today if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, they would not have afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest any man fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even into the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is alive, church. It's not ink on paper. It's not just a story. It's not a novel. It's not a biography. It is the living word of God. It is as if God breathed the words out of his mouth and they got put on that paper. And when you take that promise or that word and you believe that what God said is true, boom, the miracle takes place. It's like there's two ingredients, the word and faith. You got the faith. There's the word. When the word and the faith are mixed, boom, miracle take place. The word by itself doesn't do anything but give you knowledge. You mix your knowledge with faith, boom, whatever the miracle is takes place. You say, now, Pastor, you're just getting all charismatic on us here this morning, and it's getting Pentecostal on us here this morning. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. I'm telling you truth. I'm telling you truth like you have maybe never heard truth. I'm telling you the truth that will set you free. The truth that will change your prayer life. The truth that will change your revelation of your relationship with Jesus is by mixing faith in what he said. If he said and you believe, then you're set for miracles in your life. I say, well, I don't know if I need any miracles. I'm just trying to get by in life. This leads to my... Folks, that's not what you're called to do. You're called to be more than conquerors. You're called to be overcomers. You're called to be leaders. You're called to be influencers. You're called to be witnesses. You're called to be martyrs. You're called to proclaim in this world who Jesus is. You're supposed to be his mouthpiece and his hands and his feet in this world. You're supposed to be the one that stands up in the face of adversity and say, no, my God can do this. We're not called just to live our little life with me and my three and no more. Just in our little world. We're called to influence people's lives. We're called to influence the state. We're called to influence this nation. And that is what has happened to America. America has sat back because we've been trying to be politically correct. And we've been saying, well, if it does offend somebody, the Ten Commandments are up there. I mean, you know, we don't want to offend them. We're supposed to be nice and we're supposed to be loving Christians. And so, well, I guess go ahead and do that. Instead of saying, no, what are you talking about? We've let people go to Washington and get a namesake of a congressman or a senator and begin to think that they're better than we are. And they're smarter than we are. When they, I believe they don't know, come here from Sikkim about nothing. Don't have the sense God gave a brass monkey. And I'm telling you, it's time for Christians to rise up and say, listen, we're tired of trying to be this politically correct. We're not going to put up with this anymore. It's time for us to walk in the power of the Word of God and what God said and to be able to stand up and say, no, that's not the way it's going down. I'm telling you, it ain't going down that way. It's time for us to quit trembling in fear of what if, and start being able to lay down and say, no, this is the way it's going down. Christians have got to rise up. And the way that we're going to rise up is we've got to tell every principality and power, every ruler in darkness and in high places to shut up. Christians have got to rise up and begin to tell everything that's going on, because listen to me, it took place in the spirit realm before it comes to pass in the natural realm. Jesus, the Word of God, was in heaven and then came to earth and was born as a man. It takes place in the spirit realm first and then comes to pass in the natural. All the evil, all the hullabaloo, all the yuck and the stuff that we're walking through right now already took place in hell, already conspired in hell to just find some men that would enact upon it. So it came to place in the spirit realm first, and then in that. It's time for us Christians to rise up in our life of prayer and say, no, this is the way it's going down. Does prayer change things? Prayer changes everything. But the Christian church has been reduced to a grocery list instead of the army of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Christian church has been reduced to a grocery list instead of the army of God, where we rise up and we take time praying. It's time for us to shut our TVs off. It's time for us to join as families and around a table for prayer, but to learn how to pray. It's time for us to sit up and become the men and women of God that God has called us to be. And to rise up and to be able to sit at our tables and to pray and to speak and to see things change. Not, well, I don't know if it does any good to pray. The world's got some crazy things going on. And sometimes it's really hard to fix crazy. But the Word of God's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce through anything. It can pierce through the darkness. It can pierce through through crazy. It can even pierce through ignorance gone to seed. It can even pierce through stupid run amok. Can do it. It can do it. I just wonder, you know, there's been prayer rallies and there's been, you know, different things take place, but, you know, I just would really like to see, starting right here in Texas, you know, just some good old Texas folk, good old country people, you know, just standing on the Capitol steps praying. We have some good people in Texas. We do. And the reason why is because they're still country and they still think with common sense. Y'all with me? I want to look at another scripture. Old Testament. Go to Isaiah 66. And just hang with me for just another minute. Verse 3. You know, it's really funny, and I want to say this because I want to break some religious garbage. You know, a lot of times we're scared to voice we're scared to voice our faith because the religious demons have been so infectious that the thinking is that if I voice myself as a Christian, then somebody's going to say, oh, well, I know what you did the other day. You know, what kind of a Christian are you? And you're going to bring yourself under judgment. You know what kind of a Christian I am? Y'all want to know what kind of Christian I am? I'm a born-again, blood-washed Christian. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I don't do everything right. Hear me now. I don't do everything right. I mean, get that notion out of your head. Don't put me up on a pedestal. I do not do everything right. But you know what? The one thing I don't do is judge somebody else. And it's time to be able to stand up and boldly be able to say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I am a Christian. People are afraid to say they're Christian because they say, yeah, you're a Christian. No, you're not. Well, that person's full of religious demons anyway. Hello? Are y'all with me? Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus says the Lord. So if thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, right? I mean, here again, it's written in my Bible. And if God said it, I believe it, right? I don't believe that Isaiah was on, you know, smoking pot that day and didn't get it down right. I believe he wrote it down. It's in the Bible. It's true. Hello? So God said, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you would build me? That's the question to you this today, church. Where's the house you built God in your heart? Where's the house you built God in your heart? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Now, if God said he looks on people that honor the word, that tremble at the word, that he says right there that he looks on those that, and poor doesn't mean your lack of finances. Poor means that you're not arrogant. A poor and contrite spirit just simply means you're not arrogant, haughty, full of yourself. That looks at God's word and says, my, I got to read the word tonight because I got to know what God said. I want to live because if God said to do it, then I want to do it. If he said don't do it, I don't want to do it. He says, that's who I look on. So I want to tell you something. I know I'm preaching right because God really likes people who like love the word. I know this morning as I stand here and preach that heaven is just screaming, come on, Robert, preach it. They're like doing little dances because they're so excited. Angels are flapping their wings. So well, how do you know this? Well, my goodness, if he says, he says right there that he's going to look on everybody that trembles at his word, and I'm preaching about the word this morning, heaven's excited because I'm preaching good. Y'all with me? I want to live my life. I wake up every morning I wake up, and the very first thing, well, not the very first thing, but after a few orders of business, I get into the kitchen, make me a cup of coffee, sit down and read my Bible. First thing I do. All right? Every day I wake up, no matter if I'm tired, sick, whatever, and I go through the Bible and I always pray, say, Holy Ghost, show me something today. I want to see your word. I want to see it. I have been doing that every day since the day I got saved. And why? Because I love to be excited about the things that excite my God. And church, it's time for us all to rise up. It's time, listen to me. I'm telling you, it's time to make family time. Now, listen to me. You say, well, this is, Pastor, I'll never get my kids round up to do that. All right? Well, start out with something. Start out with grace at the table. Say the blessing over your meals. Start out somehow that you're getting it. You're not going to get everybody. None of us are. Like I told you once before, the first time I sat down to pray, I'd listened to this tape. I was all full of faith. I was going to pray for an hour, and I prayed for about 4 minutes, and I could not think of one more thing to pray about because I was hung in life on that grocery list prayer. I just more than I could think about to pray about. I never had learned to fellowship with Jesus. Now, there's not enough time in a day for me to do all the praying that I want to do because my prayer life is great. It's not sitting there kneeling on beans, you know, torturing myself to pray some prayer. My prayer life is all day long. Jesus, what's going on? How's it going? Look at this. What is you doing over there? That is amazing. My whole prayer life is all day long, thinking about everything that's just going to just mulling over like an old cow chewing on cud. That's my prayer life. Every day, all day long, just going along, saying, Lord, this is so great. Oh, Lord, yeah, by the way, oh, so-and-so, they're not doing good right now. And whatever, I don't know what's going on with them, but, you know, Lord, I just say, your word says that you shed your blood so they could be healed. So I just declare that over their life. Just heal them, Lord. Touch their hearts. Give the doctors wisdom. Let them know what to do. And then I'm back over to thinking about this or that or the other. And then, yeah, I'll venture over to sometimes say, Lord, that person over there needs to be whipped. They need to be taken out, beat with a stick. I tell you, Lord, I ought to just short of taking them out back and shooting them. I tell you what, forgive me, Lord. I'm thinking wrong. It's not what your word says. Forgive me, Lord. I just ask you to bless them. Lord, you said if I'd bless them, you'd heap burning fires of coal upon their heads. So put some fire on their head, God. But I'm having conversation all day long. It's a great life. Are y'all with me here? And we're going to learn about praying the Word of God. We're going to go through this book. We're going to learn all about how to get the Word, how to speak the Word, how to declare what authority has been given to you as Christians, how to get the Word working for you, that no word's ever going to return back to you void, but it's always going to go out and it's going to accomplish everything that God sent out for it to do. How you can have confidence in it. Amen? So, I'm going to quit, because if I go on, then we got to go on for hours and days. Help you? Stir your faith a little bit? Get you thinking a little bit? Yeah? Okay. Ladies, can y'all go ahead and bring the communion down, please? We're going to have communion this morning. Sweetie, can you come on up there and play that song again? You know my song. I am determined to be invincible. Now, the guys, I don't know if they, I see there's a box of books sitting right back there on the chair or whatever, but if you want a few more books, pick them up. We're going to have them in the bookstore. We'll get them all brought over here. They'll be around for a while, so, you know, you can pick those up. But, man, here it is, the Word of God. We're going to have communion this morning. And I'm telling you, church, you cannot live in the past of your mistakes, because it hinders you from going on into the future of what God's called you for. You say, yeah, but it was such a bad mistake. Listen to me. That's what this communion is all about. That's what this communion is all about. Go ahead and play that. It'll get me stirred up. So what this communion is about here this morning, church, it's about coming into this place where we can feel His love and feel His grace and feel His mercy in our lives. He doesn't want you. It's not your job to beat yourself up. It's your job to receive His forgiveness. You did not make the rules. He made the rules. And He said that anybody that would confess their sins before Him, that He would be faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. It's our job to mix faith with what His Word said. And that's what repentance is all about. It's what this morning's communion is all about. For you right there to get your heart in the right place so that when you come up here in just a minute, you can be obedient to do what He asks you to do. You confessed your sin, and forgiveness is yours. Don't let it hold you back. Don't let guilt hold you back. Don't let unforgiveness hold you back. But receive everything that heaven has for you today, church. Receive everything He's got for you. Let Him cleanse you. Let Him set you free this morning. Just repent, mix your faith with what His Word said, and receive it. Amen? Now, can I have my pastoral team, prayer team come down, because I want to serve y'all, and then y'all can help me serve everybody else.